Or the corner. Oh, great. Great. Okay. I don't want to stop it. Great. Okay. Okay, good. Okay. It's really, I'm used to it, but it's like a breath of fresh air when I'm done after this.
We have a body and we think we are the body. And I was talking with one devotee the other day about traveling. We both like traveling. And one of the reasons I like traveling is because it helps me to see, although the world is variegated, although the people are in different cultures, as diverse as, you know, the pygmies in the African jungle, although I haven't met too many of them lately, but still they exist, to, you know, the plastic, sophisticated people of Hollywood. And I've met some big people there also. But they all have one thing in common. They want to enjoy the body. They want to enjoy, but they have confused the self with the body, so they want to enjoy the body. There is in some of them an intuition, a feeling that there might be more than the body. But they're so entangled in the physical that the very best they can do is speculate about the spiritual. They don't make progress. Someone who is forced to act, nahi kaschit shanam api sarva prakriti jaya gunai. People are forced by the modes of material nature to act. And you can realize a lot of this, at least on a semi-realized platform. You can see a lot of this. You can get some kind of realization just by looking. We used to go out every day on Sankirtan. Usually it was kirtan or magazine distribution or book distribution or just plain begging. And of course that had the effect of making us humble. One of my disciples got second initiation, and I told him that now you must go out and beg. So he came back a little later and, you know, gave me a few hundred kuna or something. And I said, thank you. And how did you get this? He said, well, from welfare. No. That's not the point. I don't need your money. Krishna will take care of me somehow or other. But you need to go out and have your false ego cut down a little bit. Begging is very, very good for helping you to become humble. We hear Trinavda Pisunichena Karora Pisahishnana. We should try to become lower than the straw on the street. Should try to become really humble. Then we can chant with feeling, with love. In other words, if we can develop love for Krishna, then we can actually experience love for all of Krishna's parts and parcels. So when we talk about love, let's talk about love. Let's talk about loving Krishna. Love of Krishna is with a lot of humility. So begging helps. And so he went out finally, and he went door to door, and when he came back, he went for 2 hours, you know. I didn't force him to. If I'd asked him to go the whole day, he would have probably had a heart attack. I didn't want any heart attacks there in Chakovich. It wouldn't have looked good. We used to do it every day of the week, all day long. And what I learned the most was that you can learn a lot by being in the middle of people and watching how they act, or more, how they react. Because people are not acting based upon internal moral principles. They're reacting. Reaction means when you come in touch with something, it forces you to act. So what forces them to act or react? Kamesha, Krodesha, Rajogunsa Mudbhava. In the mode of passion, they act on the basis of lust and anger, kam, krodh, lobh, moha, madha, matsarya. These are impediments. They're obstacles. Most of us are pessimists. Why? Because we're very hard on ourselves. We're consigning ourselves to a temporary world full of pain and suffering. We have consigned ourselves. We have, this means we have, you know this word, consign? Huh? We have relegated ourselves, or we have accepted our fate, consigned ourselves to a temporary life. There's a lot of suffering and misery. And the golden rule is do unto others before they do it to you. Get as much as you can before your last breath. Beg, borrow, or steal, but somehow get ghee or money. Charvak Muni said ghee. We don't appreciate the value of ghee today, so we want money and oil. But beg, borrow, steal, and get ghee and enjoy life. Because there's nothing after this body. There's only nothingness. And your philosophy is nothingness also, sir. People who say like that. But if you watch people, you'll see that it's true, and they are intensely engaged in trying to enjoy. They're squeezing some kind of enjoyment out of the body. It's like in our temple in Juhu Beach, we have a nice big wall. It's a $20 million temple. It's not a preaching center. No, we get 5,000-10,000 people a day, 25,000-35,000 on a Sunday. Janmashtami, 500,000, 600,000, 700,000 people come. They wait for hours to get in for a quick darshan. Oh. Right in front of the temple, there are these big trees. They're shade trees, nice in that way. There's a road running by. Take a right turn, you go right to Juhu Beach. Juhu Beach is a playground for Bombay's elite. They walk up and down on the beach with their family in the evening. No one goes swimming, not in the daytime or the... I don't know why. Don't like swimming. But they love to walk up and down. And there are all kinds of people, of course, selling coconuts and peanuts and sugarcane juice and all that good stuff. And they also have camel rides. If you can imagine that. Camel ride. Not actually camels, they're called dromedaries. Camels only have one hump, you can't ride them. Dromedaries have two humps. Get in there. So you can either ride directly on the dromedary, the camel, or the camels will pull a cart. That's more common. So you see in the morning the camel mahouts, I don't know what you'd call them, the camel trainers, the camel owners, they bring their camels early in the morning from where they sleep at night to the beach, and they pass right by our temple. And the camels, they always stop, not for darshan, but these big trees, they like to munch. It's munching. They like to gobble. They like to eat the leaves and branches of the trees. But the trees are full of thorns. But the camels still like to eat them. And you watch, and you know, it's like, go after these thorny bushes, and you can just imagine. The thorns, if you try to eat them, you try to touch them, you'll get blood on your fingers. These animals are actually eating them, and of course their tongue is getting cut. And then that blood is oozing out, squeezing, right? Oozing out of the tongue. It mixes with the thorns, and they've got blood chutney, and they enjoy it. And that's what we're doing. We're wasting our valuable human energy for gross and subtle sense gratification. And we're no better. Svavidvara hoshtra karai. Sangstuta purusha pashunaha. We're no better than the animals. We have superior intelligence, but we're using it to get a higher standard of prickly thorns. You know, we don't have to reach up with a long neck. We get them served to us on a plate or a silver plate. We make arrangements, but the business is the same. Ahar nidra bai maitun. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And our life is passing by, and it never occurs to us that there's something better than a miserable life. Life is just one big headache. So many problems. We want to enjoy, but until we become practical and try to find out someone who actually knows the truth, who has seen the truth, who has been trained to understand the truth and teach the truth, who is a representative of scriptures. In other words, he's not concocting something new for modern man, because the absolute truth is not something new for modern man. The absolute truth is true eternally. It doesn't change. We change, but the absolute truth remains the same. Our eternal occupation, which will bring us perpetual, unlimited, ever-increasing happiness, which is the taste we want, finally. Everybody wants it. Some are not admitting it, or some are admitting it in a, you know, you can touch your nose like this, or you can go a roundabout way, but it comes to the same thing. They want, what's the expression they use, eternal orgasm, because they've concluded that sex is the best pleasure available, so we just extend it. But it's not true at all. There's much, first of all, there's much more. Much, much more to a relationship than ejaculation or orgasm. That's just, you know, something that keeps people together. But when people actually communicate heart to heart, that's far more pleasurable. But we can't, because we have no understanding. Our senses are dull. We have misused our lives in such a way we're irregular in our eating habits, we're irregular in our sleeping, we're irregular in our work, we're irregular in so many ways. We get so sick that it's barely all we can do just to maintain my own body together. What to speak of understanding deeply someone else, or many others, because we do come in contact with so many people. You can't just live in the world only for one person. You have many people that you have to communicate with, or else you live on top of a mountain somewhere. So how do we do this? We have to change our paradigma. We have to change the way we look at the world, at ourselves, and at the Supreme Self, the Supreme Lord, Supreme Person, the Supreme Lover, the Supreme Guide and Friend and Master. Krishna's Him. Krishna's that one by which we can know all others. Krishna is that one who is maintaining all the others. Nityo Nityanam. Chetanas Chetananam. He's the consciousness of all consciousness. He's the soul of all souls. Krishna can awaken us unlimited happiness. And that happiness will take into account the relative material world also. All of our friends, all of our relatives, everybody will be included in our love for Krishna. But Krishna's first. First you pour water on the roots of the tree, then the leaves and branches are nourished. First you feed food to the stomach, then the whole body is rejuvenated. But this is not something that you're going to understand by whimsy, by speculation. There is a science of God, just like there's a science of anything. This ritual of deity worship, it's a ritual, but there's a science to it. It's not directly the all in all, the ritual. There's so many rituals all over the world in so many religions. The point is, phalena parichyate, phalena phalakara namanumiyate. Are we getting the result? We can perform 1,000 aswamedha yajnas. But if we don't get love of God, then it's all srama. Srama eva hi kevalam, simply useless waste of time. The point is to melt that frozen heart. The point is to have faith and trust and love in someone. Now, every time we've loved and trusted anyone in this world, and usually it starts with our parents, because we're so fragile when we're young. Statistics, they calculate in America that around 2 or 6 children are abused when they're young, sexually abused or various other kinds of abuse. What to speak of women who are abused. So we will also be abused if we trust anyone who is materially contaminated, because they're under the control of lust, anger, and greed. They can be forced to act even against their good common sense, because the senses are so powerful, so strong and impetuous, that they forcibly drag away the mind of a man. Even he's a man of discrimination. Some of the biggest, most shocking scandals of sex and violence and etc. are amongst so-called intellectual people, responsible people. What to speak of Bill Clinton. So many jokes about Bill Clinton. I don't want to get started, but but it's all over. Who are we going to trust? Can't even trust our own family members. You have to trust someone. You can't be alone in a dungeon of fear, locked out from the rest of the world. You have to trust Krishna. Prabhupada once emphasized this point. He emphasized it by restating it again and again. You have to trust Krishna. You can only trust Krishna in this world. And some devotees said, and we can also trust you, Prabhupada. No. I will also cheat you. Only Krishna. Of course, for those who knew him, I don't care. I trust him. He can abuse me all he likes. Because I know he'll abuse me right back to Krishna. He'll take me right back to Krishna. I'm getting abused right now. That's probably more my karma than abuse. But it's sure wonderful to know that I have no escape. My mind is very tricky. The mind wants to find any excuse to get out of performing devotional service. The mind wants to find any excuse to get out of performing austerity. Take a broomstick at night and beat your mind 1,000 times. Get up in the morning, take a pair of shoes and beat your mind. The mind's going to be your best friend or your worst enemy, and it's all up to you. It's just a question of what you desire. To become an engineer, was it easy? You had to work hard, right? You had to study. To become a computer programmer, you had to study, right? Maybe you liked it a little bit, but you had to work. I mean, to do anything in this world, you have to struggle a little bit. Is it hard to maintain a family nowadays? Huh? Is it hard to get a house and have a little land and a few cows? It's real hard. But we'll take that up. But when it comes to living like civilized human beings, oh my gosh, it's too hard. I don't think I can do it. Come on. Grow up. What's the alternative? You're going to get old, you're going to get diseased, and you're going to die. And then you're going to come back again and go through the same thing all over again. So take these rules and go back to Krishna. We need things, anything you can do. Anything you can do to help you along the way. Take help from wherever you can get it. The Avadhuta in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Uddhava Gita, the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, talks about 24 gurus. He was ready to learn from snakes and from trees and just everywhere he wanted to take instructions. It's so important. It's such a priority in our lives. And no one's teaching us. We're not growing up in a culture where we're getting encouragement from our parents. Oh yes, my son, be a monk. Chant Hare Krishna. I'm so happy, my son. Get the deprogrammers. My son's become a cult member. Oh God. Sick. You can go to war. Go to war, fight, be killed, but you can't chant Hare Krishna. That's too much. Our whole family would be embarrassed. If you get killed, it's great. Yeah. We'll be heroes. Actually, the Italians are nice. Italians are nice. Every mother wants one son who will be a priest and one son who will be a don in the mafia. And she's got all the angles covered. But you don't get encouragement anywhere because people are stupid. So you have to be a pioneer. You have to be a gladiator. Huh? I think it won all the Academy Awards or something. Anybody watch the Academy Awards ceremony? Huh? He got five? Did Crow get any? Russell Crow?
I think so.
Best actor? Huh? What? That here. You know, there was a Marcus Aurelius. I don't know if there was a Maximus Decimus, but that I think he was concocted. But there was a Marcus Aurelius who was—he was actually a bit of a tyrant. But we have to be almost to that level, ferocious. Not that we go around with a sword in our arms and chop people's heads off, but in your heart, you have to be ready to chop off your anarthas. You know, Alexander the Great, when he was faced with, there was a big obstacle, his becoming ruler of the world, Delphi, there was the Gordian knot. It was a huge, elaborate knot of rope. It was tied every, with one of those things, you know. You get to the program and you look down, your running shoes have got a big knot and you can't get them off, and you spend half an hour undoing the knot and you miss the program or whatever it is. He was challenged to come and untie the Gordian knot. The oracle said, anybody who can untie this Gordian knot will rule the world. So he went down, I think it was in Crete, south of Greece, right? Anyway, one of the islands down there, somewhere. He saw the Gordian knot, and he meditated on it, and took out his sword. This is the way I untie the Gordian knot. And then he conquered the world. Except for India. India kept him out. But anyway, the point is, you have to, if you want freedom, then you have to be a fighter. Not, you have to be a female fighter, you have to be a male fighter. You have to deal with your lusty desires and control them, or regulate them and transform them into love of God. You have to have a goal and a mission that I will gradually perfect my life and everything I do, my wife, my business, manasa deho geho, yo kichumor arpilo tua pade nanda kishore, bhaktivinotakur. So sweet. His English writing, so beautiful, and his Bengali songs were just really nice. The Bengali manasa deho geho yo kichumo arpilo tua pade nanda kisho. Sampade vi pade. Anyway, maybe I'm not so good a singer, but when you get a good Bengali singing, it's so sweet. And the meaning, my mind, my body, my griha, everything I place at the feet of Nanda Kishore. That should be our mission. Whatever we do. We're all different, and we all do different things. Some of us will have a small house. Some of us will have a big house. Some of us may ride in a Mercedes. Some of us may ride in a Yugo. Some of us may ride on a bicycle. Some of us may walk. It doesn't matter. Chant Hare Krishna. The goal of life is not to increase your attachments so that at the end you can't let go. The goal of life to be happy. We all want to enjoy and be happy. And here is a simple formula. Dedicate everything you do, be as diverse as you want, but dedicate it all to Krishna. And there are some guidelines to help you. And one of those methods is to have the Lord in your house. Because we have eyes. And if we don't see the Lord's form in our house, well, we'll see the hardware and software billboard in our house. You've seen that billboard? Sometimes Croatia can get pretty lewd. You seen that? Hardware, software? Huh?
Something.
Something? Come on, guys. I'm sure you've seen it, right? Big billboard. Woman's totally naked, you know, holding her breasts, and she's hardware. And there's a guy beside her, he's software. You know, it's gross. What do we need that for? Let's go home, you know, turn off the lights and meet your wife, and, you know, it's your affair. You gotta throw it all over the public. So we need whatever we can get to help us. Yada sangharate chayam kurumonganiva sarvasya. Indriyan indriyate vyastasya pragya pratishtita. We have to become pragya pratishtita, fixed in our mind. We have to withdraw our mind and senses from the kind of culture that the demons want to throw at us. They want to tie us up. They want to influence us. They want to brain dirty us. We want to get brainwashed, and they want us to be brain dirty. I want to be clean. I don't want to be brain dirty. It's hard enough as it is being born in, you know, born in the USA. It's hard enough as it is. It's hard enough as it is. We were talking about this the other day. We were talking about this happiness index. They go around and they study different cultures and try to analyze who are the happiest. And amazingly, America's 46, although 59% of the world's wealth is in America, cornered by about 6% of the people. They've got all the world's wealth, a full 60%. One country, 200 million people out of 6.5 billion. One country of 250 million, 300 maybe now million. They've got 60% of the world's wealth, and yet they're 46. Number 46. The people there, they have more nut houses, more neurotics, more crazy people, more suffering people who are just holding on. You know, it could crack at any moment. Bangladesh was number one. People have nothing there. But more or less, they're carefree and happy. Amazingly enough, Croatia was relatively high on that, means low on that scale, means they were, I don't know, 15 or something. People hear something mystical about Croatia. It has some link with India. I'm not just talking about Yugoslavia in particular, but Croatia. So this deity worship is one way that you can help to keep your mind. Vyavasayatmika buddhir ekeha kuru nandanam. You have to be successful You know, if you just want to make a show, sure, we go to church on Sunday. You just want to make a show. Yeah, my religion, we're Buddhists, you know. We don't do anything, but we're Buddhists. We're Hari Bols. We go to the Sunday feast, you know, eat a little halva. It's cool. But if you actually want to get real, if you actually want to get successful, then you have to learn how to fix your mind on God. I can tell you frankly, not easy at the time of death. It's not easy. You don't have control of your senses. Unless you have worked at it for a good part of your life, unless you've put God in the center of your life. Oh, you've had your share of mistakes and problems like everybody else, but at least you had God in the center, and that was a rule. You haven't got a snowball's hope in hell. You know, snowball in hell? It'll melt, you know, it's pretty hot down there. The Christian concept of hell is it's a fiery place. And a snowball is a ball made of snow, you know, they make snowmen. You don't see so much snow here. Graphic expression of snowballs, hope in hell. You don't have that much chance if you haven't practiced abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagyena chagriyate. Krishna tells Arjuna, the only way you're going to be able to do this is if you practice. And you'll get what you pay for out of life. Yayata mam prapadyante. So, any excuse to get together and have kirtan and talk about Krishna. Call it a deity installation, call it a television installation, whatever it is, you know. Let's just get together and open our hearts and talk about the things that are real in our lives. And no one can hurt you. Your eternal spiritual soul and your best friend Krishna, he's watching over you. If you want him, he'll never let you go. You won't be able to shake him. The gopis, they get together and Krishna promised us he'd stay here. The guy took off with a crude Mathura. He knew it would break our hearts. He left. Let's forget him. The rascal, I can't forget him. Oh no. They tried, they couldn't forget him because he was just so nice. He was the love of their lives. He was the heart of their hearts. He was so beautiful. And these were pretty ladies. They were the most beautiful damsels in the universe. Every feature in their bodies, in their dress, in their movements, they were the most charming. Everything, how to attract. But they were interested in attracting Krishna. They were interested in attracting Krishna. When he left them, they were furious, but he was so attractive to them that they couldn't forget him. And he came back. He attracted them again and drove them to the point of madness. But it's divine madness, spiritual madness, where time knows no beginning or end, where there's no hepatitis, no cirrhosis. I hope not, anyway. So, yeah, deity worship. I worship deities. I was trained, actually, as the first male pujari in ISKCON, in Los Angeles. Then I was trained by Shilavati, who was trained by Prabhupada. And Shilavati, there were three of us, but one of them was the president and one of them was the head cook. And I went on to San Francisco to be in charge of my own three big altars, Gaurangitai, Radha Krishna, Jagannath, San Francisco. And then I got into book distribution. And they were my deities. Prabhupada even told us once, we were traveling in a van, and we didn't know how to offer our food. Wasn't much food anyway. Distributing books, I was ecstatic. So I asked Prabhupada, what do we do? And I said, put up a book, offer it to the book. Worship the book. Okay. Okay. Anything connected with Krishna. But especially his forms. Now I worship Shalagram Shila. Nice. I love to. The best part of the worship is when I take Nrisingadev in my hand or a graha and I put oil on his body and I just massage him. I feel, boy, Sudama, you really knew the nectar. Actually, it was Krishna that was massaging Sudama's feet, but then Sudama couldn't tolerate that. Lakshmi Devi, she worships Krishna's feet. Deity worship is really, really nice. And it helps you to keep your mind focused in your home. In some very devout Christian homes, they have a little sticker as you enter the house that Lord Jesus is the proprietor of this house, he's the master of this house, and we are all servants here. In Indian houses, where there's a cultured family, a family with culture, they all have a room where they, especially the puja room, the deity room, and Prabhupada used to talk about Padampat Singhania, who was supposed to help Prabhupada build a temple in New York, a very wealthy family, JK organization all over India. They were billionaires at that time. Now they've come way down. But the grandmother, she ran the house. It was a big family. They had their own temple in Kanpur, Radha Krishna temple. They were Vaishnavas. And she would very strictly make sure that all her sons and their sons, before they went to the office every day, they had to go to the temple, and the proof was that they would get kumkum on their forehead from the priest, from the pujari. And she would check to see, otherwise they couldn't have breakfast and they couldn't go to work until they had done that. So it's important in our home to always remember the Lord. It's harder in the place of worship, in the place of work. It was Vivekananda, work is worship. But unless we have our own business, then we can make some of the rules. But if we work for the government or something, you know, we can't exactly put up pictures on the wall, or we can keep a little small picture of Krishna on our desk, of course. one of my disciples in New York. He's a programmer, and he's getting about $80,000 a year. It's his first job. He's only been on the... There's such a fortune there. But he just trained himself in computers, Indian guy. But he has four or five other Indians in the office. Big company. A very big company. Dynamic, soft. Anyway, they're on the stock market. But they work in the same, relatively in the same department. So he's very happy. He keeps many pictures of Krishna and his spiritual master on his desk. People are happy. But that's not most of the most of us don't have that situation. But if we don't have something to come home to, it's very easy. We don't have a program every night. We don't have association with sadhus or preachers. So it's real easy to get influenced by the energy out there. And you can feel the difference. I know you can. When you come to the temple, and you're in the temple for a couple hours, and you feel blissful and lighthearted, and maybe energized, or maybe even there's some controversy swirling about whether Krishna is, you know, Lakshmi Narayan, or whether he's this or that, whatever it is. But still, it's all good because it's Krishna. And then, you know, feast over, it's time to go, everybody's going to go home, and you come out into the night air, and, you know, there's maybe some buildings around and cars rushing by. And you feel a difference. Whoa! You know, that's a different feeling. So that different feeling will catch you. So you better make sure that when you get home, you enter into the kingdom of God. It's valuable because it can help you. Anything you can do, and I'll touch on a controversial subject. Even, and people talk about it, even reinitiation. You've had some bad luck, misfortune, your guide, your teacher had difficulty for whatever reason, and he's not there anymore for you. So the tendency is to become stolid, to become hard. I'll never surrender again. Directly to Krishna or whatever. It's hard. I can understand. Well, I can understand a little bit, because basically so many things we do, and if the thing breaks down, well, then we just, you know, we replace it, get another one. It's doing a function. The spiritual master is doing a function. He's not God. Is doing a function. And if he proves to be defective, or he gets caught by the powerful Mama Maya, Krishna says, my Maya, who can completely be impervious to Krishna's powerful illusory energy? If it were some other energy besides Krishna, a second energy, then you could say, well, how can this energy work? Krishna must be stronger. But this energy, Krishna says, it's my energy. Duratyaya, very powerful. So if someone falls, then after some time, there is advantage to having a connection with someone who thinks that this is my responsibility. Of course, there's public speeches, and there's preachers who will speak to everybody and anybody. But, and we can learn from that, and we can get inspired from public lectures. But where we really get enervated, energized, is when a person cares for us in a personal way, in an individual way. So if we can get that, then why not? It's not against the scriptures. In fact, it's advised by the scriptures. It even happened, rarely, but it did happen in the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, Narahari Sarkar wrote his book, and he discusses the point. Bhaktivinoda Thakur discusses the point. And Jiva Dharma is there. So any little thing that can help you, take it. And anything that will not help you, reject it. So certainly making your home a Krishna conscious place and offering your food, it's all part of a science which is going to help you to blast off, to break free from the Earth's atmosphere. We know the Mir station came into the Earth's atmosphere and it burned up. What we don't know is when it was first rocketed out of the universe, it had to have tremendous rocket power fueling it. It actually, what came back into the Earth was although it was big, but it was a small portion of what went up. Most of that was lost a long time ago because it was just jet propulsion to help it break free. And we've got to get free from this energy of illusion that makes us think that I am this body. You can fulfill the needs of the body, but it should be just that, a duty that you do. You should not be enamored by it. You can fulfill the needs. You can eat, sleep, mate, and defend. But it should be dharma viruddha, based on principles, God-conscious principles, which will serve you at the end of your life, which you do have to come to. No matter who you connect with in the material world, everybody's in the same boat. Everybody is blind. So, everything you do should serve you at the end. And that's the science of Krishna consciousness. Any questions? Krishna will never cheat us, yes. Okay, Krishna will never exploit you and leave you dry. Krishna will stay with you always. And he'll do anything he has to do to help you to come to your right consciousness. We left him. You know, he could say, he bloops. Forget him, gopis, just let him go. Devotees do that. Somebody leaves us, he bloops. Let him go. It's just in Maya. Krishna won't treat you like that. You'll keep following you lifetime after lifetime until you're fully resurrected. In fact, devotees shouldn't be like that. The Catholics, they have something that they call remembering. Did you catch it? Remembering. Someone was a member and they've fallen away. So now we want to remember them. Very nice. I want to have the security that if I stumble and fall, my friends will come after me with a big club, Bhakti Yoga Club. They'll get a hook, catch me back. Feel compassion. Anybody who has engaged in devotional service, they were sincerely struggling against the current, against the flow of society. The fact, I once asked Prabhupada, someone had fallen down, sort of leading devotee, not really, but he was a sannyasi. I said, Prabhupada, I'm very surprised at